Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a really great day today. Well, my guest today writes this, and I love it. Listen in. God still speaks. God still speaks. Do you know how to hear his voice? The voice that spoke the cosmos into existence is the same voice that parted the Red Sea and made the sun stand still in the midday sky. One day this voice will make all things new, but it's also speaking to you now. And that voice is God's voice. My guest today is our good friend Mark Batterson, and he helps us unpack the whole idea of God speaking, us listening. In fact, we're going to talk about the languages of God. I'm predicting this new book of Mark's will be another runaway bestseller. It's titled Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. It's a hardcover, beautiful book. We've got 4 copies. I wish we had 1,000. I want every one of you to have a copy, but we're not taking calls today, so you know the drill. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and put Whisper in the subject line. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Mark Batterson is author of more than a dozen books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Circle Maker, and the USA Today bestseller, Chase the Lion. He's the founder and lead pastor of National Community Church, one church with 8 campuses throughout the D.C. area, known as one of the most innovative, influential churches in America. Mark lives in Capitol Hill with his wife and their children, and we're honored to have him back with us today. Pastor Mark, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Susie, it's always a joy. It's so good to be back.
Well, it's like coming home. We love having you. And I'm wondering if you have a verse you've been thinking about these days, and it really even doesn't have to relate to the content if you don't want. I mean, just if there's a verse you've just been pondering, thinking about these days, you can share with us.
Well, you know, I think it's the verse in 1 Samuel that I begin the book with. It's just a 7-word prayer. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Mm. I tell you what, if you have the courage to pray that prayer and you actually listen, I think you'll be surprised at the way that God speaks. And so that little verse is a game changer, Susie.
It is. And I can't wait to dig in and just what you've really discovered around that verse and so many amazing facts. I'm super excited to get into the content of the book. But I got to ask this question first. You know, you're a full-time pastor, you're a husband, you're a father, you're a friend. You've got a very full life. And from one author to the next, I mean, as we were saying before the show, every book is a labor of love. I mean, you really have to buckle up and go, okay, I'm about to climb another mountain while I still have a full-time job. So with that in mind, yeah. I want to know how this particular book was born in your heart.
Well, I think everything was once a whisper. Mm. You know, Ebenezer's Coffee House in Capitol Hill, where I'm talking to you from, my office is right above the coffee house. Susie, was 15 years ago that I walked by, and I heard a little whisper. This crack house would make a great coffee house. And so we prayed for 5 years, and you know the story. I mean, we've had more than 1 million customers, given more than $1 million of net profits away to kingdom causes. But, Susie, this coffee house was once a whisper. Everything was once a whisper. Even Adam was once a whisper. God breathed into the dust. And the dust became Adam. And so I just think this is a book that's probably been in my spirit for quite a while. And, you know, at some point you got to write it. And so I did it. And so excited about it finally being on bookshelves.
So, so great. And Circle Maker, about you saying, you know, God won't answer the prayers we don't pray, and how important it is to have an engaged, active prayer life. And then you're talking about the other side of this conversation, but we miss so much when we don't listen. You know, one of the things that so breaks my heart is the fact that there's this a remnant of believers, and I'm not at all bashing. I'm saying it breaks my heart, but who insists that God doesn't speak today. But it's not, they don't stop there. They lambast anybody who says, actually, no, he does speak. We know his voice. Jesus said we would. And I used to get really upset about that when I would see what this remnant would do to public Christians. And now I'm not mad anymore. I'm just sad about it. And I'm wondering if you could just make the case. You know, people are going to believe what they want to believe, but make the case for the fact that Jesus, you know, the Bible even says daily the heavens pour forth speech. Speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's well-meaning. It's usually folks who have a very high view of Scripture, as I do.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. In Scripture, God speaks in these different ways, desires, doors, dreams, people, promptings, and pain. And I think the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God has not been put on mute. He's still able to speak in those ways. And the precedent is right here in Scripture. And so Scripture is the first language, and I think it's the sounding board for all the other languages. But then, of course, I talk about those six secondary languages. And I think sometimes by having, you know, this high view that God only speaks through Scripture, what happens is we actually handcuff the God of Scripture who wants to speak in these different ways. And so I think that's part of the heartbeat behind this book, to really help people understand that and then learn these different languages.
Oh, that's so good. You say that God has an outside voice and he's not afraid to use it, but when he wants to get our attention, I love this, he speaks in a whisper just above the threshold of hearing. Why do you suppose that is? I mean, why do we, I mean, I understand why he gets quiet so we can get lean in, but why do we need that? Why do we miss him otherwise?
Yeah, well, my theory is that, you know, when someone whispers, the person listening has to lean in. Their ear has to get very close to the mouth of the person who's speaking. And, you know, I played a little trick on my kids when they were little. I'd speak in a whisper, and they'd get real close. And you can guess what I did. I'd reach out and grab them and give them a hug. You know, I think God plays the same trick on us, Susie. We think that hearing the voice of God is about hearing the voice of God. I think it's about intimacy, that God loves us so much that sometimes he speaks very quietly so that we have to get very close. And so this is about relationship. By the way, whisper, by definition, is speaking using one's breath, not vocal cords.
Wow.
And I love that idea, because think about the theological ramifications of that. That
man,
God breathed into the dust. So he literally whispered Adam into existence. So Adam was once a whisper. So were you, so was I, so was everything else. And it is amazing. I'm sure we'll talk about it, but it's amazing what God can do with his voice. We basically use our voices to do what we're doing right now, and that is, you know, speaking to one another. But God's voice, he uses it to create and heal and reveal and do so many things that are outside our range of hearing, and that's when the voice of God really reveals its true power and purpose.
And when you walk in that such intimacy, when you get used to, you know, minding the nudges, responding to the nudge of the Spirit, and seeing the fruit that comes out of it, there's just no going back, because it's like there's nothing on earth that's more important than oneness with God. And so let's look at some of these languages. Well, we touched on the Scripture, and you said, make no mistake about it, though, the Bible can be misused and abused. So talk about how to rightly handle the word of truth as a love language of God.
Well, I think it's important to remember, first of all, that Scripture is God-breathed. So in a sense, Scripture is God's whisper to us. And it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I believe that he inspired those writers. But here's what's so beautiful and what's so unique about the Bible, because you don't just read the Bible reads you. And so the Holy Spirit is on the other side of the equation, too. As we read it, he's the one who inspires, and I mean that literally, breathes that inspiration into us. And so the Bible isn't an end in itself. The goal is relationship with the God of the Bible. And I think that's where we have to be careful. And so I thank God for Scripture. It's the Key of Keys, and that's probably one of my favorite little stories in the book. We can let readers discover that for themselves, perhaps. But Scripture is the filter that all of the other languages go through, because God's not going to contradict Himself. So He has spoken through Scripture, but then He speaks beyond that. Sometimes, revealing the when, where, and how. Susie, I mean, the Bible gives us principles, but it doesn't always tell us now or later, here or there, and that's where we need Holy Scripture and we need the Holy Spirit. In fact, maybe you could think of Scripture as the map and the Holy Spirit is the guide, and we need both.
And you think about the times when you're stepping into a new venture that was God-breathed, God-whispered, and you're stepping into it, and then you find a promise in Scripture that you come to just treasure ahead of time because He sees the opposition that's up ahead. And suddenly you have this, anchor for your soul because you have a promise. I mean, it's priceless. It's living, it's breathing, and what a gift to us. Okay, the next, when we come back, we'll talk about the next love language of God. I love this. The voice of gladness and how God whispers to us through our desires. This is one of my favorite things that you talk about. Talking to author Pastor Mark Batterson. His new book is titled Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. 4 copies to get into your hands. Email me if you want in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Can you see me hopping around in studio? Love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise. Talking to our friend, author, Pastor Mark Batterson, who's written a brilliant new book. And just the combination of how you're just a fan of history and of really interesting stories and then unpacking Scripture and then inviting us to lean in. Title of Mark's book is Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. And we're talking about the ways God whispers to us, the love languages. We talked about how He speaks to us through Scripture. But another one you said is the voice of gladness. I love this. Through our desires. And in this chapter you wrote, tell me how much you enjoy God, and I'll tell you how spiritually mature you are. Love it. Say more about our desires and just our enjoyment of God.
Yeah, well, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And it's the second half of that that I think sometimes we overlook or underestimate. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, here's the key, Susie, and you know this. The word give, doesn't mean, hey, I want a new car, so I'm going down to the car dealership, and I'm going to get it from God. No, the word give means to conceive. So what happens is you begin to delight yourself in the Lord. As you seek Him first, He begins to conceive new desires within you. And then those desires, I actually believe, become compass needles. Now, this is tricky territory because we have these things called sinful desires, too, and we've got to make sure that we aren't listening to those. But these are the godly desires that He puts in our hearts. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak.
Yeah.
And so desire is a gift from God. And honestly, without desire, we don't accomplish much of anything. And so let's thank God for desire. Let's let God sanctify it and let God speak to us through those desires of the heart.
You and I talked about this. I want to say it was a couple of years ago, and I've really not ever forgotten it. And correct me if I don't expect you to remember, but I want to make sure I get the idea basically. But what I remember you saying is when we walk intimately with the Lord, we can basically trust our desires. And even though we tend to be a pile of contradictions, there might be motives in there and different things, as we walk it out, God purifies us as we go. And yet I think we tend to sabotage desires because we automatically, maybe that enemy railing in our ear, oh, that's selfish. Oh, that would be too fun. That can't be from God. So speak to just that whole idea that as we walk intimately with God and He does conceive desires, how do we steward that so that we're trusting God every step of the way?
Well, I think it's some people have this misunderstanding that God's going to call you someplace you don't want to go, to do something you don't want to do, and make sure you don't enjoy it. I just don't believe that. I believe when God calls you to something, he gives you the desire. He conceives it. And so what we've got to do is be obedient to that. I'm a big believer that you probably ought to love what you do and do what you love. Now, obviously, it's going to be within the guardrails of God's good, pleasing, and perfect will as revealed in Scripture. And Susie, I better say this up front. None of these languages should stand on their own. God, number one, he's going to speak through the first language, Scripture. But then I found he often speaks through desires, and then he'll speak through people to confirm it or give me a prompting, or maybe a door will open or close. And so God has a way of confirming his will by speaking in these different ways. And so let's be careful that, you know, we're listening to everything God has to say. And in fact, if you don't listen to everything God has to say, eventually you won't hear anything he has to say. And often it's what we want to hear least that we need to hear most. Amen. And just a reminder, these are love languages. This is a God who loves us and wants to speak to us, in this case, through the language of desire.
Well, you know, he comes to give us life and life abundantly. And I love how you unpack Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give, or he will conceive in you the desires of your heart, which are his desires. And you have a story in your book about college. I think you were planning to go to law school. You were walking in a field in Alexandria, Minnesota, of all places, but you sought the Lord. You were asking him to speak to you. And so you had an initial desire to go to law school, and then he conceived in you a desire to go to ministry. That came from him, originated from him. And say a word about that, because it ended up really calling you, Mark, to be your best self, you know?
Yeah, it did. And it was a strong enough desire, Susie, that I gave up a full ride scholarship at the University of Chicago. So
I didn't know that part of the story.
I had a few people who probably thought I should have held on to that scholarship and maybe finish up school there and then go to seminary. But this is for someone listening right now. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Indecision is a decision. Inaction is an action. And so I just knew it was one of those moments where I felt the calling. God gave me the desire to transfer to a little Bible college. And if I hadn't done that, there's no way that I would have been in a position at 25 to, you know, start pastoring a church here in D.C. I think often the will of God starts as a single cell desire that's conceived in our hearts by God. And if you nurture it and allow the Spirit of God to continue to stir your spirit, that desire can become something that is pretty amazing if you give it time and energy and effort. It can eventually be the thing that really defines your life.
Man, you think about the ways God wants to partner with us on earth. And I mean, your story is so amazing to me. I mean, when you went for a walk around the D.C. area, just prayer walking around that community, not even knowing that there were several properties within that circle that you prayed, and I think even a billboard, if I remember right. But those were things that God had laid claim to for the church that you're pastoring. And what a blessing it is to just give time and space to bend an ear towards him. Absolutely amazing. Don't you just kind of stand in awe when you look at what God has done?
Well, it is. I look back, and it's the thing that amazes me is how everything, again, was once a whisper.
Yeah.
I was reading Joshua 1:3, where it says, I'll give you every place you set your foot, and I felt this little prompting to do a 4.7-mile prayer walk around Capitol Hill. And honestly, Susan, I wasn't praying for property. I was just staking claim to the place that God called us and believing that his kingdom was going to come and his will was going to be done. But here we are 2 decades later, and we own 6 properties worth more than $50 million right on that prayer circle.
Man.
But every single one of those properties traces back to a whisper. And so I hope people are picking up what I'm throwing down. That, listen, I believe his voice is the solution to a thousand problems, and his whisper is the key to your destiny. It's about hearing his voice, because it's his voice that's going to get you where you need to go.
Oh, amen. So we got about 2.5 minutes or so to our hard break at the bottom, so you can pick this one on the other side if you need to, but let's just start with it. Another love language of God, as you say, is the door to Bithynia. It's doors. And you say in that chapter, discernment is the ability to appraise a situation, love this, with supernatural insight. It's prophetic perception that sees past problems and envisions possibilities. Simply put, it's, I love this, picking up what God is throwing down. Say more.
Yeah. Well, one of my most prayed promises is Revelation 3, where it says, what he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. See, I have placed before you an open door. I believe in a God who opens doors to places that I could never get on my own ability. And he's also the God who closes doors, Susie. What I've learned is that this promise is a package deal. In fact, let me just go on record and say, I think someday we'll thank God as much for the closed doors as the open doors. Now, we don't like them when they happen, especially when those doors slam shut with our fingers in them. I've had that happen a time or two. But I think that's a loving God who sometimes keeps us from going where we shouldn't. And, of course, this comes out of the story of Paul's missionary journey. He planned on going to Bithynia, but God closed the door. The next thing you know, he ends up in Macedonia, meets a woman named Lydia, and she becomes the first convert on that continent. And so praise God for closed doors and open doors, and for a God who wants us to get where he wants us to go more than we want to get where he wants us to go. And he's awfully good at getting us there.
Wow. We got about a minute left before our hard break. Can you think offhand of a door that he opened, Mark, that you never saw coming?
Well, I you know, Susie, in the last couple of years, I found myself with certain people in certain settings, and I find myself asking the question, how did I get here? I won't name names, but listen, it's places I have no business going. It's people that are a little out of my league, but here's what I found. When you follow in the footsteps of Jesus, he's going to take you places that you can't go. You're going to do things that are beyond your ability, and that's the adventure of a Spirit-led life. And so whether it was God leading us here to D.C., which is an incredible story in and of itself, or, you know, even the way he first opened the door to write that first book, he is the door, and he's the one that opens it, and I'm so grateful for it.
Maybe you needed to hear that today. He's placed before you an open door that no man can close. You can trust him. Talking to Mark Batterson about his amazing new book, Whisper. More great conversation up ahead. Email if you want in on the drawing. I'd love to get a copy into your hands. Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. I was just in the dancing mood today, picking those fun songs. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise, talking to our friend Mark Batterson. It's Dr. Mark Batterson. He never touts it, but he has a doctorate, I just got to tell you. His book is titled Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. And listen to what he writes. If your life is off key, maybe it's because you've been deafened by the negative self-talk that doesn't let God get a word in edgewise. Maybe you've listened to the voice of criticism for so long you can't believe anything else about yourself. Or maybe it's the enemy's voice of condemnation that speaks lies about who you really are. If you don't silence those competing voices, they'll eventually deafen you. You won't be able to sing God's song because you won't hear his voice. And we've been walking through these love languages of God, the way that God whispers, Mark. But if we could step off the beaten path for just a moment and talk about this self-contempt, negative self-talk, not doing something about the enemy's railings in our ear, how we'll miss so much of what God wants. So maybe speak to that person who just totally lives there and hates it but wants to know how to get free.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Susie, maybe I can share the opening story about Dr. Alfred Tomatis. He was an otolaryngologist who an opera singer came to see him because he lost his ability to hit a certain note within his octave, and it made no sense. And other people were saying it was a vocal problem, but Dr. Tomatis had a hunch. And so he set up a sonometer, discovered that opera singers sing at about 140 decibels, which is louder than a military jet taking off from an aircraft carrier. Long story short, he had been deafened by the sound of his own voice. And you can't hear, you can't sing what you can't hear. Dr. Tomatis said the voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. It's called the Tomatis effect. And it really is the basis for the whole book, Susie. I mean, you can guess where this is going. We think we have relational problems, emotional problems, spiritual problems. No, we have hearing problems. Listen, it's about hearing the voice of God. His voice is joy. His voice is power. His voice is healing. His voice is love. His voice is the solution to 1,000 problems. And so I really believe that it all goes back to hearing the voice of God. Is he the loudest voice in your life? If he is, that changes everything.
Beautiful. And having a church in D.C., you have lots of notable people who attend. And I was so undone by the story in your book of an FBI agent who, from what I gather, is kind of stereotypical, just a tough guy, a street-savvy guy. And there he sat in your church one day and heard the gentle whisper of the Lord. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, isn't that a it's one of my favorites, and I'll tell you why. Because just to speak very candidly, you know, as a pastor, as a preacher, you know, I try to preach the Word of God, and I pray that my messages would be timeless and timely. But, you know, at the end of the day, Susie, people don't need another sermon from me. What they need is a word from God. And that particular story is about a guy that finally heard that still small voice, and I'm not surprised by what he heard. You know, the Lord kept saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And my prayer for people as they read this book is that, you know, at some point they would stop hearing my voice in their head and really start discerning the voice of God, because that's what it's all about. His voice is the voice that called everything into existence. And at the end of the day, his voice is going to be the one that calls us out of the grave and into eternity. And so his voice is what it's all about.
And that story, if I remember right, the FBI agent said, I think I heard him say it 100 times as I sat there, to the point that this agent had a visceral reaction to the love of God, and he just started to sob. And that's just one of the things I pray for my adult kids, even, that they love Jesus, they follow him, but there's nothing like an encounter where you hear the whisper and the affirmation of a father's heart. That is so beautiful. I just loved that story. So we're talking about these languages of God, the ways that he whispers through his word, through our desires, through the open doors that he puts before us. Here's one that you talk about, dreamers by day. And you said in this chapter that God speaks in dreams so regularly that we often read right over them. Say more.
Yeah, listen, God created us with a right brain, with incredible imaginative capacity, and I believe that that's part of the image of God. And when the Bible says, when Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your mind, I think that that includes every capacity within the human mind. In fact, I think it even includes the medial ventral prefrontal cortex, Susie, which is the seat of humor. And I think the Lord wants to sanctify that. That's how we find things funny. And so let's use that imagination. And so God speaks often by giving us dreams. And, you know, I make a distinction between good ideas and God ideas. And, you know, good ideas are good, but a God idea is something that, you know, this didn't come from me. This is something that God is inspiring. And so I think it's one of the ways that God speaks. It's a beautiful language, not the easiest one to interpret, but I think it's one of the biggest ways that God speaks and that his kingdom advances through us, through those dreams that he gives us.
Amen. If you don't mind, Pastor Mark, I'd love for you to tell your asthma story, especially going back to as a child, because you had a dream or you'd had a hope that you would be healed someday, and you had severe asthma. I had two of my three sons had nebulizers and peak flow meters and home health care. I mean, we went through it, but you had it even worse than that. So tell us about that situation and how God spoke to you all those years ago.
Yeah, I so appreciate you asking that question. You know, Susie, my earliest memory is an asthma attack. I was 3 or 4 years old, woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't breathe, went into my parents' room, and my dad drove me to North Memorial, to the emergency room, and got a shot of epinephrine, and I could finally breathe. That routine was repeated night after night after night until finally diagnosed with asthma, and it was severe. Susie, if you add it up, I spent months in the intensive care unit. I was code blue, and I never went anywhere without an inhaler. When I played basketball, I had one in my sock, and when I slept at night, I had one under my pillow. There weren't 40 days in 40 years that I did not take an inhaler. But let me tell you what happened. July 2nd, 2016, I'm preaching a sermon called Mountains Move. And I think there's a moment, Susie, where you've got to stop talking to God about your mountain and start talking to your mountain about God.
Come on, somebody.
You've got to declare his power, his goodness, his promises. And that's what I did. And I challenge our church to pray the bravest prayer. And I write about this in the book. And for me, the bravest prayer was that God would heal my asthma, because it's all I could ever remember. And I think the bravest prayer is the prayer you've asked 100 times that God hasn't answered. And so I asked one more time. Susie, that was 474 days ago. I have not taken an inhaler since that day. God healed my asthma, and I'm going to tell you what I did. October 8, 2017, I ran the Chicago Marathon.
You've got to be kidding me.
I wanted to do something that I knew I wouldn't have been able to do. And so to celebrate that healing, ran that marathon. And so I think you can tell my faith is at a different place.
Yes.
And I think my favorite chapter in the book is probably the bravest prayer. And I think it's going to inspire some people to begin praying some of those brave prayers once again.
And this is not to say you didn't pray before, because when you were a child, when you were young, you started to ask God. I think there was somebody was at your house maybe who laid hands on you and prayed.
Yes.
And then something happened, but it wasn't your, I'm sorry, it wasn't your asthma. Sorry. You got to tell that story.
Yeah, it's a funny one, and it's part of the backstory. So, you know, I was 13, I'd just been code blue, and get out of the hospital, a prayer team comes over, and we prayed that God would heal my asthma. And so the next morning I woke up and I still had asthma, but all the warts on my feet were gone. And I remember being so confused. I was like, man, there's probably someone somewhere who's breathing great but still has warts on their feet, that something got confused between here and heaven. But you know what? That I think is maybe the first time I heard that still small voice. And I'll tell you what I discerned the Spirit of God saying was, Mark, I just wanted you to know that I'm able. Susie, I held on to that. From that day until the day God healed me, I held on to that. And he's not just able. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. And so it was that little whisper at 13 that I held on to all those years, and I think helped me continue to pray that prayer. And listen, I want to just say, so often we get frustrated because we give God a deadline and he doesn't meet our deadline, and so we give up on it. And, you know, I wish God did everything in 40 days, but he doesn't. You know, this one took 40 years, and it's past my pay grade to figure that out. But at the end of the day, I think I have two choices. I can stop believing and stop praying, or I can keep believing and keep praying.
Amen.
And so just a challenge for listeners, come on, pray the bravest prayer and see what God does.
Oh, hallelujah. So we've talked about these languages of God, the way he whispers us to us through his word, through our desires, through open doors, through our dreams. And here's another one, through hidden figures, through people. So talk about how people are actually one of God's love languages.
Yeah, through imperfect people like mm-hmm. you and me, Susie.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, you know, this is a tricky one because, and I talk about it, you got to consider the source. You know, I've had lots of people say lots of things to me, and they were not words from God. So you need a little bit of discernment here, but let me also say in the same breath that God speaks through people, and he wants to use you to speak into other people's lives. And so I think this language is so important to learn and to be aware of. And, you know, Susie, maybe I can go somewhere that will be helpful to listeners. I believe that encouragement is a spiritual gift, you know, the Bible says that, but I think encouragement is something that we owe to one another.
Yeah.
So encouragement is just, you know, saying something nice to someone else. And you know, I've told you this, I do a lot of radio interviews and I'm saying this on air. Susie, you're the best. You are an amazing question asker, and that's a word of encouragement.
Wow.
But I think sometimes God gives us what I would call a prophetic word. And don't get scared by that. You know, it's not predicting the future. It's not some hocus pocus. No, it's the Bible calls a prophecy for comforting, strengthening, and encouraging. But here's the differentiator. A prophetic word is something that the Spirit of God has prompted you to say. And I think there are moments when you need the courage to obey those promptings. And when you do that, sometimes you're speaking in a way that can change someone else's life. And so I know that's tricky territory to navigate, but that's why I'm writing the book, to kind of help people figure out that language and hopefully become a little bit more prophetic. But by the way, in the Jewish scheme of things, you know, the Lord said, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. And so being prophetic was actually part of the spiritual growth process. And so it's not something that's just reserved for a few people. It's something that all of us can function in.
And it really goes to the whisper, Pastor Mark, because if we are keeping our ear bent towards heaven, saying, Lord, use me to build up the body, to be an encouragement. The Bible says he confides in those who fear him. And so if we have a right honor of him and want so much to encourage the body, imagine what it would do for that person just to walk. I've just felt really prompted to tell you today, you know, don't give up. Your breakthrough is around the bend, or whatever it is. But imagine what we could do for each other instead of assessing from the outside and, you know, priding ourselves in our ability to assess things, leaning in and hearing what the Spirit has to say. Fantastic. When we come back, let's talk more about one of the love languages that we may not love so much, but God uses it. And Mark, you call it the joystick, and it's pain. How God speaks to us through pain. He just does. That's just true. Talking to author Pastor Mark Batterson, 4 copies of his book, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. I'm predicting this will be a bestseller. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Love that song, and I'm loving this conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friend Mark Batterson. He's got a brand new, I'm just saying, runaway bestseller, predicting this ahead of time, titled Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. And I think you maybe need to hear this today. Mark writes, did you know that God is singing songs of deliverance all around you all the time? You can't hear them because they're outside of your range of hearing, but you're surrounded by a sonic shield. Those songs of deliverance are powerful enough to break any bondage, overcome any addiction, and solve any problem. Those songs are the reason no weapon formed against you will prosper. I have holy goosebumps reading that. I just think someone needed to hear that today. And as we've been walking through these love languages you've identified, Mark, talk about this one, the one we don't love to talk about, but God uses it, and it's our pain.
Yeah. You know, Susie, the Bible, again, is the first language, but you know what I found? A lot of people leave their Bible sitting on their shelf or just unopened on a bedside table and kind of ignore it. But you know what you can't ignore? You can't ignore pain. And so sometimes that's the language that God speaks in. You know, C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but shouts in our pain. And so I think sometimes pain is the thing that we can't ignore. But I think we also have to recognize, Susie, that it is a gift from God. If you don't feel pain, you're going to injure yourself over and over and over again. In fact, there's an interesting little miracle in the Gospels where Jesus heals the leper. Well, you know, leprosy, the symptom is the loss of feeling. You can't feel pain, and because you can't, you hurt yourself. And so that miracle was really Jesus restoring their ability to feel pain. And so no one likes pain. But it is a gift from God, and sometimes it's the only way that we can learn some of those difficult lessons.
Boy, and even sharing what God does in and through the pain, I think I told you this another time, but, you know, I've had a massive relapse of Lyme disease over the last couple of years. I'm on my way out and doing much better now, but the worst part of it, we were driving to an event, and I was so discouraged. The symptoms were off the charts. I felt horrid, and I saw a tweet from you that you'd been healed, and it was, and you had a clip from your sermon, Moving Mountains. And I can't even tell you, I mean, I couldn't hear myself. I mean, I sobbed so hard as I listened, but you testifying just dropped hope in my heart like I cannot even tell you. And I think that's why, even as we steward our pain and our stories and God does something in the midst of it, we've got to share that too, because somebody else is in the storm where they can't hear anything. And your voice, I guess that goes back to the love languages of people, testifies, you know, that God is the God of breakthrough. I mean, just want to say thank you so much for that.
Well, I appreciate that, Susie. And, you know, I might just add one little thing, and you and I both know this, but, you know, there is a promise that one day, there will be no more pain, no more sickness. This isn't God's plan and purpose, but I do know this: pain can be a professor of theology, pain can be a marriage counselor, pain can be a life coach, and we can't afford to ignore that voice of pain, because it is one of the ways that God speaks. But I want to say again, all of these languages are love languages, because that's the heart of God, and God's the one who's going to get you through. And I love the person who said their favorite verse of scripture was, "This too shall pass." You know, if you're in one of those seasons, I've been there. You know, I had a near-death experience that turned into the hardest year of my life, ruptured intestines, surgery after surgery, wow. Time in the hospital. And, you know, I wouldn't want to go through that again, Susie, but I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Mm. And so just a word of encouragement to those who are in that tough spot. I want you to know you're not alone, and there's a God who I believe wants to speak to you. And my prayer is that you would learn to hear his voice. Maybe in a new way during this season.
Yeah. And I wonder about you, with the 40 years that you dealt with severe asthma. You could go nowhere without your inhaler. I'm looking back even at this last couple of years for me. I see the gift of dependence. It brought me into such a deep intimacy with God. And I wonder what it protected me from. You know what I'm saying? That dependence drew me to him so deeply that I feel sure that this plague for me, as hard as it was, protected me from something worse. I just believe that because of the intimacy I found in the Lord. How about you with the 40 years of asthma?
Yeah, you know, this time slot wouldn't be long enough for me to share all of the things that I've learned and all that God has done in my life because of that asthma, Susie. Mm. Now, I'm going to call it what it is. It was a thorn in the flesh. And I'm so glad that God healed me. It's a new day, a new normal. But at the same time, there's certain things that God did in my life that I can see how, listen, all things work together for good. And, even that asthma, God used it for his purposes. And so I think it's about really, you know, there's a fine line, Susie. I believe you have to take up your cross. You know, Jesus hung on the cross. We can carry our cross, and that's what we're called to do. And sometimes you have to submit to certain things that are difficult, but you have to walk through them. And now let me flip the coin and say, in the letter to the church at Thyatira, there's also a sin of toleration. And I think we have to be careful not to settle for the status quo. And it's hard to discern these things. These are things that, you know, it's partially why I wrote the book, because it's things that we need to think about and talk about. But I just think sometimes you have to say enough is enough.
That's right.
And you just begin to declare who God is. And that's what I did with the Bravest Prayer. And so, you know, it's living in those places. That's where life is lived. And I think it's not easy. It's not the easiest place to be, but that's where we most need to hear His voice.
It's so true. And one last point about this journey of asthma, because I've related so much, because you know, we identify sometimes with our time on the mat or a thorn in the flesh or whatever analogy we want to use, where it becomes such a part of us that we start we have to work around it. And I mean, there's just things we have to do because of that ailment. But what's so interesting to me is that you retaught yourself how to breathe because you realized you had old breathing practices that were consistent with someone with severe asthma. So you actually educated yourself on good ways to breathe. And I love that, because I just think we were so addicted to treating symptoms. But, you know, Jesus asked, do you want to be well? And there's things that He's asking of us to cooperate so we can be established in that new normal. We just got about a minute and a half before we pray, but I'd love for you to say a word about that.
Yeah, well, and that goes back to the idea that you can't just pray like it depends on God.
Yeah.
You also have to work like it depends on you. And so, listen, God can do a miracle. And listen, Susie, there are probably people listening who need some kind of deliverance from something. Listen, God can do that. He can deliver in a day. But what I've learned is you've got to back it up then with daily disciplines. I think the last thing I want to say, and part of it was just me wrestling. It was almost hard to asthma had become part of my identity, to even begin to speak about it in past tense terms. I would catch myself, and it was such an adjustment. But I think maybe the last thing I want to say to listeners is you are who God says you are. You aren't the mistakes you've made. You aren't the labels that people put on you. You're a child of God. You're the apple of God's eye. You're more than a conqueror. And I think our identity issues are really a misunderstanding of who God is. Guilt issues are a misunderstanding of God's grace. I think anger issues are a misunderstanding of God's mercy. Pride issues are a misunderstanding of God's greatness. And trust issues, they're a misunderstanding of God's goodness. And so I think if you struggle with any of those issues, maybe it's time to let God be God and let God be the loudest voice in your life.
Can't even express how grateful I am for you, Mark. As we get ready to wrap, wondering if you pray for that person listening who realizes those voices have been louder than God's. Would you pray?
Yeah, Lord, we pray what the prophet Samuel prayed as a young boy. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. God, I pray that we would be quiet long enough to hear your voice. Thank you for that beautiful psalm, Be Still, and Know That I Am God. God, I pray that those who are listening, they're in a difficult place, that they would find the stillness and that they would rediscover once again today, God, you're on the throne. You're the God who speaks. The question is, are we listening? God, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, dear pastor. Looking forward to our next conversation. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Susie.
Always great. Just talking to Pastor Mark Batterson. Go get this book, Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. You will not be sorry. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, too. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.